It's hard to believe that we're here. I don't mean now anymore. I'm not talking about any place in this world. I'm talking about the time. It's hard to believe that the time has arrived. And no matter how much you think you're prepared, you're not prepared. Uvach says, Aviyah v'esima yerach yamin. It says in the Torah we read last week that she cried over her father and her mother. She will cry for a month. And I'm sure that most of you know, if not all of you, that Chazal taught us that the month of crying, says in Chazal, in the Zera Kaddish, Da'yarcha de'elul, this is referring to the month of Elul, the base like Moshe Latural Lamibarachamin Kamikuchabrich. The entire month of Elul was spent by Moshe Rabbeinu and Har Sinai crying and begging for the Jewish people. So this period of Elul, and of course the 10 days for Yom Kippur, this period of 40 days is a tkufa, is a period that's miyuchad, that's designated since that time for bechiyas, for crying. That's what it says in the Zera. Revoch says, Aviyah v'esima yarach yamin means us. Es Aviyah means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem. V'esima means Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people. Now the Zera Kaddish also taught in another place that even though Hashem hears every single tefillah, Hashem is Baruch listens to every single tefillah that you and I ever in our lives offer up to Him. Hashem listens to every single tefillah. Nevertheless, the Zohar Kodesh does say clearly that there are times when shasik minei, that even though Hashem hears, even though Hashem hears us calling to Him, shasik minei means that Hashem is silent. He doesn't answer, He doesn't respond. Even though He always listens, He's always listening and He hears. But there are many, many times the Zohar says, shosik minei. That's when it comes to davening. But you know that when it comes to crying, so the Pasuk says, El Dimasi Al Techrash. But David HaMelech said, El Dimasi, that when it comes to tears, David HaMelech wished his tefillah was accepted, of El Demosi Al Techrish, that Hashem will not be silent. Hashem will not be silent when it comes to the tears of Jewish people. And therefore, you know that the Gemara says in Brachos, Miyom Shachar Beis HaMikdash Nin Alu Shari Tefillah, but since the day of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the Shari Tefillah, the gates of Tefillah have been locked. But there's a special gate, there's a special place that's called Shari Demois, of Jewish tears. And that place, Chazal say in Brochus, has not been locked. El Demosi Al Techrash. So the question is, how do we find that door? How do we get to that gate? How do we open that door? What kind of crying is it talking about? There isn't a person in this room who hasn't cried this year. Either, God forbid, over personal loss, Hashem Yirachem. There isn't one of us who hasn't cried hearing the news and seeing the pictures and seeing Jewish parents cry over their children and Jewish children crying over their parents who've been murdered by our enemies. There isn't anybody here who has, every single person here has cried and hasn't stopped crying. Are those the tears that get us in? Are those the tears of the Shari Demos? Is that the room? Is that how we go in? So I'm sure that many, many of you know a famous story that one of the most beloved singers of these past years like to say, although he didn't say it accurately. There's a famous story after Yitzhak Vorka died. I'm sure that many of you have heard this. Rabbi Yitzhak Vorka, you know, loved Jews in a very deep way. So the correct version of the story is that his illustrious son, Rabbi Yankov David, that was the first Rebbe of Amshnov. You all heard of Amshnov? The first Rebbe of Yankov David. That the Amshnov, his son, was disturbed that he hadn't heard from his father throughout the entire Shiva. Now people like us don't wait for things like that to happen. So the tzaddik was worried and he expressed his concern to his father's closest friend. The closest friend of Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka was, as hard to believe as it is because they were so different, was Rabbi Mendel Kotzke. And the Kotzke, the correct version of the story is that the Kotzke told Rabbi Yankov David, you're going to be hearing from your father shortly. And I don't have time now, neither do you, to go into the details. But in fact, Rabbi Yankov David did have a vision in his dream. And the Kotzke asked him to please tell him about this. And the son reported, not as the storyteller said that it was the Kotzke, but the son actually was the one who had the dream. And he told the Kotzke that in his dream, he was searching for his father in all of the places in the higher world. And he couldn't find his father until he went through some frightening places. And he passed through a clearing and he saw his father sitting, holding his stick, looking out upon this unbelievable ocean that had waves. An ocean whose waves were reaching up to the highest heights. Obviously this is all something spiritual, but that's what the tzaddik saw. And he asked his father, when he went there, he asked his father, why wasn't he taking his rightful place in Gan Eden? What's he doing here? What is this place? And why is he sitting in this place? And what's this ocean? And Rabbi Yitzchak Vorka said to his son that this is the ocean of Jewish tears. These are all the tears that the Jewish people have cried in Golos. In the same way that when I was in the world, in the physical world, in my body of flesh and blood, I couldn't walk away from a Jew who had tears. So I refuse, even now, to enter into that place of truth until I see this ocean of tears, the Yam HaDemois, until I see that it no longer exists. And that's how the Amshnava discovered the ocean of tears. How do we? Because if we find that place, if we come to that place, we'll be able to open that door. So I saw a medrash in the summer. You know, the most unbelievable medrashim you always find when you're looking for a different medrash? You know what I mean. So I was looking for something else, and I saw this medrash. Ma mikvezu pamim psucha pamim neula. A mikveh is sometimes open and it's sometimes locked. Some of you have had the horrible experience of coming last minute to a mikveh and discovering what's locked and trying to open the door. You can't get into the mikveh. I once had a maestro where I couldn't get out of the mikveh before Shabbos. I'll talk about that a different time. So the mikveh, the Midrash says, is ma mikvezu pamim psucha pamim neula. A mikveh sometimes the mikveh is opened and sometimes it's locked. So too when it comes to the Sha'arei Tefillah, as we learn, the gates of Tefillah, sometimes, the Medrash says, sometimes they're opened and sometimes they're locked. However, the ocean, the Medrash says that the ocean is always open. The ocean is as wide as the world. The ocean can't be locked. The ocean is open. Hayam, hazel la'olam pesuach, kach shari tshuva la'olam pesuachim. So the Medrash says that so too there are gates. There's an opening that's called shari tshuva, which is compared to the ocean. And Matav, just like the ocean is always open, the ocean can't be shut, can't be locked. A mikveh can be closed. Davening, we already learned that the Zohar says davening is such a thing of shosik minei, that Hashem doesn't respond, that the bal mikveh, that the one who's the bal mikveh has locked the mikveh. And even though you're screaming and you're yelling, you can't get into the mikveh, you can't get into that place that's called tefillah. And the very shom, even though he hears it, shosik minei, he doesn't answer you. But the Medrash says, when it comes to this level that's called Shari Tshuva, Shari Tshuva is compared to the ocean. And the ocean, a Jew can always get into the ocean, Shari Tshuva. So what is the ocean? It must be the same ocean that Rabbi Yitzchak Rurka was sitting by. And Rabbi Yitzchak Rurka, which I believe with every single cell in my body, that Rabbi Yitzchak Rurka's mom is sitting there this moment, by that ocean of tears, which is the Shari Tshuva, the ocean of Tshuva, of tears. Because when it comes to davening, when it comes to tefillah, the Baal Mikveh, the Baruch Shalom is the Baal Mikveh, and the owner of the mikveh, the one who watches over the mikveh, when it comes to davening, we see that the Baruch Shalom asks, who is this person, Sof Kol Sof, that's davening? Let's run a little bit of a security check on this guy. Who is this person? Who's in this pile? That's question number one that Hashem asks when he hears the tefillah. The second thing is, what kind of a tefillah is this? What kind of davening is this? Is the person really, really davening? Is it a real tefillah? And the Baal Mikveh, the owner, the master of the mikveh, therefore asks himself, kivyochel, the question, should I open the mikveh for this Jew who's davening? Shari tefillah, shari mikveh is one thing. Should I open the door of the mikveh for this Jew who's calling out to me? So it depends. Who's this Jew and how's he davening? And the Zohar says, sometimes shosik minei. That means that sometimes you come to the mikveh and you daven. You want to be better. You want something to happen and you can't get in. But the Medrash says when it comes to shari tshuva, so Shari Tshuva is compared to an ocean that is always open. It means the Yam Shel Demos, tears of Tshuva. Because the Sforim say that no matter what a child has done, no matter how crazy he's made his father or his mother that day, no matter how grievous his sins are, when a child tries to explain and to discuss, everybody knows that it doesn't always work. And many, many parents are also in that state of shosik minei. I hear what you want, Yankele. I hear what you're asking me for, Sarale. But I'm not giving it to you. But every parent knows that when a child cries in a very simple and pure way and feels bad, when a child goes and cries to a mother, to a father, that's not anymore trying to open a mikveh. That's called a yam, an ocean. And the Medrash says that an ocean is always open. So the problem, Rabbis, that we have as we stand at the gates of this Yam, at the gates of Yerushalayim, which according to the Mukabalim, we're now standing by Ein Deis HaYuraglenu, B'Sharayich Yerushalayim, Ne'ila is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But right now we're standing by what? Sharayich Yerushalayim. We're about, when we say Ashrei, is Rabbi Yaakov here? Good. When we say Ashrei, so we're going to be entering into the gate of Yerushalayim. The beginning of the Yom and the Roim, which is the opening to the ocean of Tshuva. The problem, however, is people like us are so far removed from this kind of crying. And it's pashut, and I told this once to the Chevra here in Shul, that for so long before I went to Eretz Yisrael, people were telling me about the unbelievable moving experience I was going to have when I would get to the Kaiser. Now, I had been there once when I was 10 years old. But then later on, when I was in Yeshiva, and I was returning, so I was told it's going to be the most moving experience of my life. When I got there, I basically felt that this was a very old wall. And that's about it. Very impressive old wall. And I felt extremely inadequate because I was told that I'm supposed to break down and cry, so I tried to think of all kinds of horrible thoughts. as a child of survivors, I was thinking about some of the things that my parents had told me and different things that I heard about. And anything, the next step would have been to take an onion and do something that I could bring myself to cry. It's a real problem. To cry, the month of Elul, crying. And the crying tears of tshuva, which we now understand is the ocean, and the ocean of tears, that Rav Yitzchak Zwirka will not walk away from, and that Hashem Yisbarach can't possibly ignore. But for people like ourselves, to force yourself to cry is a narishkeit. What does it mean? If you have to force yourself, then it doesn't mean anything. So what is this avodah? What are people like us supposed to do? Who find it difficult in general to get emotional about spiritual things, who can cry perhaps about disappointments in life, shidduch that didn't work out, God forbid something in parnasa, chalila, if a child, God forbid, is not well, we know how to cry. And we can cry about, we can cry when we see the picture in the newspaper of one of our brothers being thrown from a window by Yishmael. We can cry. But a Yam Shel Tshuva, an ocean of tshuva, of tears from tshuva, what exactly is our avodah? How do we come to this place that's called Mekor Hadima, the source of tears, that the Navi called the source of tears? How do we get to that place? People like ourselves who are so modern and sophisticated and so much in control of ourselves, and so cold in our Yiddishkeit. How do we come to that place? Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to meet up with the Baal Mikveh. I don't want to have to deal with the Mikveh, with the owner of the Mikveh who's standing there with his keys. Because I know that I'm not worthy of being answered, and I know with all of my heart that my davening is not worthy of being answered. So I don't want to meet the owner of the Mikveh. I want to be able to jump into the ocean of Rav Yitzchak Zwirka. I want to jump into the ocean of tears of tshuva, which is compared to a yam, which is the olam pasuach, which the Baal Mikveh says, you're there, you're in. Hashem himself, does never ever stands in front of a Jew who cries from tshuva. So without faking, how do we get into that place? Because every one of us wants to have a good year for ourselves, for our families, for our parents, our brothers, sisters, children, for every Jew. We want to have a good year. We want it to be a better year than last year. Last year wasn't a good year, if I said this past year. It wasn't a good year. We're thankful that we're here. We're thankful we're here. But there's so many Jews that are not here. So let's first understand. Bechlau. Why does a person cry when someone that he loves has died? Let's talk about that. Let's only talk about it, not experience it, right? What causes a Jew to cry when someone who he loves has passed away? And unfortunately, I'm sure on some level we've all experienced that terrible loss. On some level, a family, a friend. And you know, the answer is very simple. That what causes the Mekor Hadima, what causes the outpouring of tears when someone has died, is that feeling, and I'm just trying to think about the feeling that I had when someone that I loved very much passed away and I couldn't stop crying. There's a feeling of a complete and total chisaron. There's something that's been taken from me that's missing. And I don't have the koyach. I don't have the strength to deal with the absence of this person. I don't have the koyach lehismodeid, to cope with the absence of this person. I can't live without seeing this person's face. One of the most absolutely jarring things that I ever read was something that Rabbi Yosef Soloveitchik said I once shared with you. He was very attached to his Rebbetzin, Allah HaShalom. And he said that the last year, she wasn't able to walk up to the room to go to sleep in the bedroom. So she would stay in Boston, she would sleep in the den downstairs. And Rabbi Yosef said, he said this in front of a whole assemblage of people, I don't know how. And he said, he was such a private person. He said that he came back one day, and he went upstairs to sleep, knowing that his wife was downstairs. And when he went upstairs to sleep, he realized that it was chilly. It was chilly. And he thought, he was tired, I don't have the strength, but then he realized, what am I going to do? He says, Tanya, my Rebbetzin is cold, and she doesn't have the ability to get up from bed. So Rabbi Yosef said, I went downstairs to her room, to the den, and I walked in, and I reached over to close the window, and then I stared again for the 1,000th time at her empty bed, and tried once again to come to terms with the fact that she died 2 weeks before. And I cried again. Can you imagine? It's hard to believe. The crying of a person who has lost comes from the feeling of loss that can never be fixed. Like, I just can't. And if someone tells you, you'll be alright, you'll be alright. You know, you always have these people by Shiva that say, you know, you'll be okay, you'll find someone else, some crazy things like that. But for that person, at that time, I simply can't do it. I can't go on not seeing that loved one's face. I can't go on not hearing that person's voice or laughter. A stronger person maybe can think, can be misguided on some level, I don't know. But most of us certainly, lo aleinu, we shouldn't have to deal with these things. Most of us can never ever do such a thing. And the feeling is pashut. I simply don't want to live, and I can't live without this loved one. So they say, this is true. You know that it's true. Even though everybody here knows that there's a Malach HaMavos, and everybody knows that the day will come for each person to leave this world. And especially, I'm sure that Rav Soloveitchik knew, he was a very bright man, as you know, and his Rebbetzin was sick for a long time, and the doctors had told him over and over, and his wife already had left the world, and he still couldn't stop crying, even though there's a Malach HaMavos. And each and every one of us is one day going to meet the Malach HaMavos B'Zman Min Svansik. Na'afal Pichein, you understand, if I feel, if a person feels that he can't live without this person, he can't stop crying. Why is it that he can't cry on Tisha B'Av? We're supposed to cry on Tisha B'Av. Because the feeling is that I can live without the Beis HaMikdash. It's not so complicated. And since I can live without the Beis HaMikdash, and I can live without the Nevi'im, and I can live without Mashiach, and I can live without Geula, because I paid my mortgage this month, and the barbecue has a propane tank that's still working, so Baruch Hashem, I'm okay. So without the Beis HaMikdash, if I can conceive of a life without the Beis HaMikdash, then of course I can't cry. Because crying comes from that feeling that I can't live without someone or something. And I don't have the strength to go on without. And with the delayed brayer, I can't talk about it, no one will understand. What happens is that the ocean begins to... the waters of tears in the Kohadimah is open. And this, Rabbi Sai, is the side, is the secret, which is not really a secret. I'm just talking openly with friends of mine of the Yam Shel Tshuva, of the ocean of returning to Hashem, the ocean of tears, of crying, as Chazal say, that the ocean of Tshuva. What is that? What do I mean by that? What a person realizes when he feels that there's something about himself that he himself over the course of this past year has lost. Sometimes a young person growing up feels, God forbid, having done a certain type of an aveira, a young person feels that I used to be innocent. I used to be pure. And it's gone. It's lost. And the feeling that I can't live without that person I once was. I can't live without that pureness, that tmeinness. Sometimes you feel it on a difficult day that you yelled at someone who you really love and you shouldn't have yelled, someone who's good and someone who you really care for, but you yelled and you feel that you've broken that person's heart and you'll never be able to get it back. You've thrown that person's heart away. You have sometimes a husband, a wife, they can say something to each other and at the time they're angry, but then each one goes to his or her corner, there's crying because the feeling is I did something, I hurt something, I love that person, we were married and we stood under the chuppah and I just broke something and I'll never fix it. It'll never come back. The sweetness of our chasna I destroyed. The sweetness of our years of marriage have been ruined by my mouth, by my anger. And then you cry. You don't have to force yourself. You understand. Each and every one of us understands, and it's very clear that there's no point in faking, and one does not have to fake those tears. Uvach says, so what's the avoid of Elul? What's the avoid of Slichis? How do we begin? How do we begin the Yom Nerayim? How do we begin Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Uvach says, Avivasim Ayerach Yomu, we cry for a month. It's a month of crying. But we don't know what that means. How do we do that? No kind how? So we understand now on the simplest level it means that a Jew has to make a cheshbon ha-nefesh. Not to force himself to cry like I when I was a child trying to cry by the kodesh. It doesn't mean to force himself to cry. It means that a person has to make a cheshbon ha-nefesh and to be honest with himself and to look deeply in himself and admit that there's something this past year or maybe over the past 10 years, the past 20, 30 years that's missing from my life, that I myself destroyed, that I myself exchanged an oilon oimoid, as we say in the davening, a permanent real world, a world of truth, of power, of mitzvahs, for an oilon choylois, for a world that means nothing. Every time a Jew looks in the wrong place, he takes his eyes and he looks in the wrong place, he's exchanging a real world for a phony world. And when a person stops and makes a cheshbon ha-nefesh about the tragedy of what I've lost this last year, the part of myself, the Ani Yosef. Remember I once said from Rabbi Yosha Ber, and those that didn't hear from me, Mistam, you heard it, you saw it in the Svarim. We understand that Binyamin was crying. That we understand. He now discovers it's his brother. Why is Yosef crying? Yosef all along who this was. Right? Yosef is playing the game. So when Yosef cries, we don't understand it. Binyamin is shocked, the brothers are shocked. Mayor, we understand. But Yosef, why are you crying? Why can't you stop crying? Because when he said the words, Ani Yosef, Rabbi Yosha Ber explained, Ani Yosef, he was saying, you think that I'm a ruler over Egypt, and you're thinking all this time that I'm some tough guy, and I'm this dictator, this tyrant. And I'm some person from the minister in Paro's government, the Chulei. I'm the Yosef. I'm your big brother. Binyamin, I'm your brother. Forget about the fancy, all the fancy talking in the disguise. Now I can tell you straight, in Mamaloshen, in Yiddish. Forget the whole phoniness of all the other Rishonim that I speak 70 languages. I'm the Yosef. Ich bin Yosef. It's me, your brother. And why the crying? Over the lost years. Over the lost child of Yosef who was longing to be Yosef. He wanted to be Yosef again. He didn't want to remember the wife of Potiphar. He didn't want to remember the dungeons. He didn't want to remember the filth of Mitzrayim. He wanted to remember, I'm not allowed to say, he wanted to remember playing with his little brother, sitting in a room, talking with his brother and his family, singing his mirrors with his father and his brothers and his mother. That's what he wanted. Ani Yosef.
when a person realizes all that's been lost, the Yosef has been thrown away, the Yosef is gone. All the years of Yosef, making believe I was Tzokos Paneiach, and saving the world which he was. And all of us, our disguises, and our games over the year. But if one makes a chesed and nefesh and says, Ani Yosef, Rabbi Shlom, Ani Yosef. So here the truth is something which we have to confront. Another 5-10 minutes, I know it's late. The truth that hurts. You know that our mother Rachel hasn't stopped crying. Especially now, who can imagine how she's crying? It used to be, at least for some time, for some years, there were Yiddish kinder, Jewish children were coming to see her, to talk, to daven, to cry. Now Rachel Yemeni is lying there with the Menuvolim, with the Mishchosim, with the Reitzchim, standing around. So it says in Navi, Rachel Mevakel Benera. Rachel's crying for her children. And Chazal have explained the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu Navi to tell us that the goal of the redemption itself depends upon the bechias, the crying of Rachel Yemeni. So the question is there anybody here right now who would dare say that Rachel Yemeni hasn't cried for enough years? Rachel Yemeni hasn't cried long enough? There hasn't been an ocean of tears from Rachel Yemeni? She hasn't seen enough Jews walk past her on that road? Well, what's going on? How long? I have no sight. So Chazal say, Shalosh Dmois, Hoirid Esav, you all know that when Esav was tricked on that day, Esav cried three tears. Three tears. And he screamed out. And because of that, Esav has all the hatzlach of this world. For those three tears. So the Medrash says, Omer Yisrael, Esav harosho al shaharit sholosh dmois nismale rachmim alav. Because that miserable Russia, he cried three tears. And you're filled with compassion for him. Rachmanis, because of three tears of a Russia. Omer dimaisenu tadirin yoimim v'layla. Your own children have been crying for thousands of years. Yoimim v'layla, day and night. Oh my David, the most Al-Tarchus, and David has to beg you to pay attention to our tears? Because the Rosh has three demos. Boom! A Rochel, Mavaki, Rochel, Vaiter, Rochel, 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 Needin, crying, crying. And David Malach has to beg you? El Demosi Al-Tarchus? How do you answer that question? So it must be that our tears are not as sincere as Esav's. It's painful to say it. It must be that the tears are not coming from that place. Esav on that day, when it says in Pasuk, Ve'yizak za'oka gedolu maro, Esav screamed out from the depths of his being. He screamed out, and those tears came from that deepest place, the place that's called the ocean of tears. Because Esav felt that everything is mamish lost. Everything is lost, everything is gone. All of his dreams, all of his hopes, all he was waiting for is destroyed because of what happened with Yaakov. So Rabbi Sai, is there anybody here now that can honestly say, maybe we can, I can't? Could it be written about us in God's Torah? On a day that we didn't learn properly, on a day that we spoke Lashon Hara, on a day that we weren't good to our children, on a day that we weren't good to our wives, to our husbands, on a day that we weren't careful with what we looked at, what we heard. Is there anybody that could say at the end of such a day, Vayizav Zalka Gedolu Mara, it's hard enough on Yom Kippur, Sholosh Dmos, three tears. And who's screaming and who's crying about the shas that hasn't been learned? Who's screaming and crying about the eyes that have wandered. Who's screaming and crying about the people who have been insulted in our lives and hurt and embarrassed by us? And who's crying about the tmimus, the innocence of when we were children? The aniyai seif that's no longer here. The way we were when we were children before we did anything wrong. Who's really crying from the depths of mamish me'umke deliba? For that Yosef HaTzadik, that tzadik inside of us that's missing, that's lost, that's died. Let's make a simple cheshbon. This entire period of time until Shmini Atzeres, we say L'Dovid Hashem Erev Yishi, the Kapitel Tehillim. There is one thing I ask of you, Hashem. One thing I beg. Shinti Mimes Hashem, Kol Yimei Chai. I want to dwell in your house all the days of my life. And to behold your splendor. And I mentioned this at Shalosh Shudas. You know that Hashem can't stand people who lie. It says in Pasuk, David Eshkarm Layikin LeNegedeinai. Hashem says, a liar, I can't even look at him. A person who lies, Hashem says, I can't even look at such a person. So let's ask ourselves honestly. There's one thing I ask of you, Hashem, that I should be zeich to sit and daven and learn and be in your house every moment of my life. When right now you know that slichus is already taking too long. It's already taking too long. And I'm going to have to handle with some of the chevra here about Musaf Rosh Hashanah, that's an extra 14 minutes, or an extra 40 minutes. How dare we say, Shifti Beveit, Acha Shalti, there's one thing I want, to sit all day long, davening and learning, serving you, a sheker of a chazan. How dare we say such a lie the whole month? The Torah says it's not a lie. God forbid. And Jews aren't liars. If the Kapitel Tehillim begins, L'dovid Hashem Ori V'Yishi. L'dovid Hashem Ori V'Yishi Hashem, you are my light and salvation. The Gemara says it's talking about Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, this time of the year. L'dovid Hashem Ori V'Yishi. It means that during this month, during this period of time, Hashem sends into our lives a light, a clarity to be able to see that the truth of the matter is, the real truth is, Ach HaShalti Meis Hashem. You know that you have, you know how many times I've spoken to people who their entire lives don't feel like davening, make a joke of the whole thing, talk in shul, couldn't care less about whether this is a good hashgacha, not a good hashgacha. And to go to this movie, that movie, this show and that show. But when they see that their child, if that person's child wants to God forbid marry a non-Jew, or if that person's child says, I don't want to put on tefillin anymore, then that parent comes to me and says, Rebbe, what am I going to do? I'll give up everything in the world, I'll sell everything, I'll do anything in the world, just so that my child should put on tefillin. And Mika Amchi Yisrael, in this time Hashem opens their eyes to see that really all we really, really want is only to be good Jews. Every one of us really, really doesn't care about everything else. It's Nairishkeit. All we want back is Yosef HaTzadik in our lives who's missing. All we want is Al Tashlichei L'Mufanecha V'Ruach Kodshecha Al Tikach Mimeni. I want to be a Jew. We made the mistake all year, we believe that we're still in your presence despite all these crazy things we're doing. But during this time, Hashem, Ari, you're my light, and now it's clear to me. And every Jew can see clearly during this time. The rest of the year is so hard. But during this time, every single one of us only says, Chadesh Yamenu Kekedem, I want to be again a little boy and a little girl. I want to be again like that Yosef before Mitzrayim. And Rebbe Shlomo, I beg you to forgive me. because you gave me a pure neshama, and the whole year I threw it away. And the whole year I lost it. And Yosef is missing from my life. As panecha Hashem avakesh, al taster panecha mimeni. Hashem is Baruch, I'm seeking you again. Don't hide from me, despite all the things that I've done. And it's true, that is the achashalti. That really is really, really what we want. But why do you have to wait to see, God forbid, that what about children chas v'chalila? She stopped wanting tefillin. Then one of the girls should go, God forbid, with the wrong person. And then all of a sudden to say, tell me anything, Rabbi. I had a woman that called me last summer when I was in the mountains. This is a woman who not only wasn't interested, but mocked and ridiculed. And she was going on telling people about the craziness and the silliness of this and of that from a very religious family. And her child was sick. Tell me, Rabbi, what could I do? Why doesn't she call the rabbi that she goes to the whole year? Why are you calling me? What do I have to do with you? The only thing you did is make fun of my shul and my chaverim. I didn't say this though, of course. I'm just saying to you. Why are you calling me? I mean, now you want to see someone that has a bid and payers. Do you understand? Because the rest of the year and all the years of the life is one big show. With Broadway, with Channel 2, 4, 5, 7, 9, and the 1,000 that they now have, and the satellites and everything else. It's a big fake with the little skirt that comes up to here, and the sleeveless dress, and all the comments and cracks are only because really, really she knows that there's only one thing in the world that she wants, and that's a child. And she says, I know, tell me what should I do, how should I live, how should I dress, tell me what I should say. I'll say the whole film every day. Because she knows there's only one key, and that's the one that comes to the ocean of tears. And that the only truth in the world is to be a Jew. And therefore when she realizes that everything else is lost, and there's no hope, and the doctors say your child is lost, she comes back to the Baruch Shalom, and she says, please Hashem, forgive me. I want to start again. Why do we have to be tortured and burnt and kicked to come to that place? This is what's wrong with us. So the Maitzai Menucha, Kidanucha Tchila. The Maitzai Menucha, but the Shabbos, the day of rest, we begin right away to say Slichas. There's a Maitzai from the Tzaddik of Chazko Yeshineva, and I'll end with this. The Divrei Cheskel of Chazkel Shinova was the son of the Divrei Chai. The Divrei Cheskel himself was a Goyin, a Kaddish. So once the Rebbe of Chazkel Shinova said this Maisa by Malava Malka, which is tonight Malava Malka. And everybody knows that Matzah Shabbos was supposed to say stories of Tzaddikim. So Chazkel Shinova once said this story by Malava Malka. There was a king who announced that he was coming to a certain place, to a certain town. And the Jews of the town, the people of the town, mamish, prepared the most lavish, beautiful, gorgeous kabbalas from them. And they were cleaning and decorating, and they put out the most delicious foods to prepare for the king's arrival. And the king came, and he was very impressed by the kabbalas from them. And he sat together with the people, and they had a beautiful suit, and they're singing and dancing about it. After this was over and the king got up and he's preparing to walk, to leave. So the people, the Jews in the town came to the king and they threw themselves on the floor by his feet and started to cry, Rachmanus, Rachmanus, HaMelech, Your Majesty, have Rachmanus. We have such sorrows, we're so poor, our children are dying, we have such sorrows you can't imagine. So the king couldn't understand, but she never says. I come to a place, everybody's singing and dancing and making me a beautiful kabbalah's fun and a beautiful suit, like the Shlomo HaMelech. And I see this place is mamish, these are people who have money, and they're making a beautiful thing. So I don't understand, what are you coming to me and telling me now, HaMelech, Rachmanus, Rachmanus, you need this, you don't have that, you don't have panosia, what are you talking about? So the Divrei Cheskel said that the Jews explained, Adonai HaMelech, when the king was our guest. We didn't want to share his stay. We didn't want to share his simcha. We didn't want to upset him. We wanted him to enjoy his stay with us together. Therefore, how can we tell you really what's hurting? What's on our minds, what's in our hearts? But now that the king is going away, now that the king is leaving, what's going to be now with us? We don't know how to go on. So when the king heard this, the Divrei Cheskel said that when the king heard this, and they said, "Your Majesty, you're the only one that can help," and he saw, and the king heard, and he saw the mysterious nefesh of these people, even though they were so poor and there was so much pain. Nevertheless, they didn't want to stir his simcha, and they put out from this beautiful spread, made from this beautiful Kabbalah's pennant. So the king was, despite their pain, the king was filled with compassion, and the king was filled with love, and he granted them all of their requests. Chazak Yimali Mishalu Seinu. Amit Yasta Batosha Seinu. So the Shinova said, Shabbos. So a Jew walks away from all the misery and pain of the 6 days. And with all the pain, I hear these stories, somebody was telling me about one of the families that lost a child to one of the Bnei Yishmael. To sit down to sing Zmiris, what does that mean to sing Zmiris if you've lost someone that you love? Shabbos comes, we don't talk to Hashem about our pain. We put out a table, we try to... Can't go on without you. We just didn't want to scare you, Simcha. So we say to Hashem, you know that every single year since the Shulah started, I've been saying Slichas, I've quoted from an old song that I remember when I was around 16, 17, Hashem forgive me please for doing this Aveira again. But I always think of this sentence, you know, you can forget Rashi in 10 minutes, but you can't forget a stupid song for your whole life. Here I am, Lord, I'm knocking at your place of business. I know I ain't got no business here. But you said if I ever got so low I was busted, you could be trusted. So here we are, Hashem, again. We didn't keep the promises of this past year. May Hashem, each and every one of us here, in our heart of hearts, it's Acha Shalti. The rest is not real. The rest is stomach fake. And we ask Hashem to please look into the deepest part of ourselves. And to help us see that part of ourselves, the Yosef, it's still there, Rabbi Yosef. There isn't one person who's sitting here who has done anything to destroy the essence of Yosef HaTzadik. Not one of us. God forbid. Yosef HaTzadik is still there. Our wonderful chaver, Rabbi Yaakov Hagler, for all these years, in such shame, in such chesed, is the one to begin our entrance into the gates of Yerushalayim. He's a worthy shliach tzibur who you all love. And on behalf of Ish Kodesh, I want to thank Rabbi Yaakov again. And it's time to say Asher.